Hey, welcome to the Butter Dish. Today we actually have our very first guinea pig guest. And we're thrilled that it's one of our all-time favorites, Jordan Lips, because we know he won't outwardly judge us, just inside.
Yeah. And we're fine. Just with
inside,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. Very happy to be here. Go ahead.
Speaking of judging, we have a challenge for you, Jordan Lips Fitness. We're setting up a virtual swear jar.
Wow. There goes my whole income.
So if you can make it through this whole podcast without swearing once, we'll actually pay you. How about that?
Oh man, that's not going to happen.
Plus then you can actually flex and say that you have recorded one whole podcast without cussing once.
All right.
And then share it to that one person who super shamed you for not being able to share it with their 6-year-old.
Okay. Oh, yeah, this may prick your heart just slightly. We have a lot of moms who listen to it with their daughters.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, no, I got here. You're loud and clear. No problem. We're ready to rock. I'll flip that switch and I'm ready to go.
Fantastic.
So everyone wants to know how we know each other. I would actually love for you to answer this question because I'm curious to see how you answer.
Yeah. How did we meet, Jordan?
Yeah, I don't really know. was it, I mean, who slid in whose DMs first? Like what happened? Like, was it like a sharing of did somebody share something? Did I share something? You share something?
It probably was us. I think that our first like official interaction, besides maybe a couple of like ha-has on posts, was us actually asking for you to coach us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool. Really? That's how that was like I didn't know you guys that well until that happened.
No, I think you were harshly judging us as two macro moms who did a weekend course.
Wow, that's super harsh.
We were like, we'll coach with you if you follow us.
Yes, Heidi set the relationship.
This is how we get all of our followers. Pay all of them to coach us.
We've done it like a couple hundred thousand times.
Oh yeah.
That's nice. It.
So that kind of, I think, was our official like DTR, but it's been a good time since. And we honestly have the best time with Jordan Lips. So I would say obviously we officially know each other from Instagram and we've had a coaching relationship. And now we just have a mutual disdain for.
I can't wait for you to finish this sentence.
I'm not finishing it. Misinformation. Misinformation. I'm going to put here a small pin in that and just circle back really what you said about my first impression of you guys. Like that is actually true. And so that's like, I'm going to be honest, like that I was entirely wrong. So just because of the first impression doesn't mean that says anything about you. It says something more about me that I had not, obviously judging books by covers. Honestly, not even by the cover, because if you spend 2 seconds on your content, you know that that's not the case. And so I probably jumped the gun mentally. And then the more I enjoy your content, obviously, you guys are absolutely not that. And definitely felt like a little ashamed for having that initial thought. I mean, it was very quick 180 that I did on that initial impression. But you guys are far from a pair of like macro dishing moms, like not even close. I mean, you guys are much more depth than that.
Well, that was superb butt kissing. That was wonderful.
Let's spend the next 45 minutes talking about how wrong you were.
Okay, but before we do that, we would like to hear your story. How'd you get into fitness, Jordan Lips?
How did I get into fitness? Tripping and stumbling over everything else in my life and kind of winding up here. The initial plan, obviously, like just a normal person, was in sports as a kid and then just picked up lifting after that finished. And I was like, wow, I'm washed up and I have nothing else to do. So let me pick up some sort of athletic pursuit somewhere else. And so it was the gym. Like every 16-year-old kid was like trying to impress girls. But immediately, a little bit more deeper than that is I'll say that when I was in school, I had this big, I didn't like school at all. And I thought the man was out to get me. And it was like this big, conspiracy of like people were out to get me and I couldn't do well. I didn't feel like I was getting a return on my investment, like in terms of time and effort in school. I always felt like teachers didn't like me or whatever it was. And then I would go to the gym and it always felt like a place that I got a 100% return on my effort. It was like, if I do the work, I eat the food, I lift the weights, I get the results. There's no subjectivity to it. And I felt in love with that. It's like, it's available to everybody. Yes, we have different genetics, but like if somebody with bad genetics and good genetics comes to me and asks me what to do to grow muscle or whatever, the answer is exactly the same. So I really liked the objectivity of that. And I found very quickly that that matched up with like how my brain preferred to be working. And so really, really liked that. However, that was not the initial or the goal in life. I was planning on going to law school, had taken the LSATs and applied. But I was so burnt out from school. And so I told my parents and my grandparents, whose like entire life was about me becoming a lawyer, that I was going to take a year off. And I was like, oh, let me take a year off. And just everyone's doing it or doing this gap year thing. And so I did. And I worked at a local gym. And within like the first week, I knew I was like, oh, this is it. I'm done. I'm not going to school. And it took me like a couple, several months, like 4 to 6 months, like tell my family who were like extremely upset. They don't listen to this, but they were extremely disappointed to like almost disowning. I mean, they had put money into my school and stuff, so I understood where they were coming from. This was like their entire life was like me, you know, vicariously through me following in my grandpa's footsteps or whatever. No regrets at all. But that was an interesting time where like there was even more pressure. I was like, well, I better kill it then because I'm letting them down a ton. And so I have no regrets at all. I think it worked out extremely well. I couldn't be happier. It's a really, really lucky situation. A lot of people, I don't want to rant too much about me. I don't want this to be about me, but like a lot of people like, oh, you know, you're doing so well. Like you're good at what you do. And I'm like, it honestly was a lot luck. Like things fell into my lap. The gym that happened to be in my town happened to pick me up and happened to mentor me and happened to put a lot of time and effort into me. And I'm very grateful for that. Although the place was a train wreck, in terms of like starving people on 1,000 calories. And obviously it was just a place I hadn't learned anything yet, but, very grateful for the opportunity. And so, yeah, that's the end of my story. Enough about me.
I love knowing that that's because amazing. As somebody whose mom is a pediatrician, my dad is a professor, PhD professor, and can you imagine their first daughter going into hairdressing? Like, could they have been more like, that's not the road that we thought you were going to take?
Like where does astrophysics come into that there?
But it's interesting how it's true when I remember working in a salon first, kind of like what you did. And it's amazing how, when you see it, you're like, oh, I get it. I want to do this. And I can't even imagine like not having that component of doing hairdressing, just like, I'm sure you cannot imagine not having that, you still would be a fantastic lawyer.
Yeah.
I think about that sometimes, no regrets at all. This is a tangent. Do you consider yourself as a hairdresser? Do you consider yourself, or even just as what you guys do, like entrepreneurs? Like, if someone says that, you're like, yeah, I'm an entrepreneur. If someone like, is that something that you guys like, you feel like, okay, yeah, that's me. Or is that word like give you cringe?
It's secondary, honestly. Like, I feel like our purpose is to help women achieve their goals. And then like, oh, also, yeah, it is under the umbrella of entrepreneurship. Yeah.
I think obviously very much like it's not surprising to me when I think of it this way. It took us a bunch of years to even consider ourselves like, oh, this is not a hobby anymore.
Yeah.
Like, we're like, as you transition into it, and then you have people who are like, oh, are you a small business owner? And you're like, yeah,
I guess so. Yeah.
But it's like shocker, right? Yeah. That we're not like right out the gate. Like, he's like, but every single time someone's like, oh, are you an influencer? I'm like, that's a horrible word.
Oh,
I do not want to be one. Zero interest in that. But people think that.
But it's also like, if I had approached it with that mindset, I don't think I would have ever done it. If it was like, okay, so this is going to be about likes and follows, like, no. Like, if this is going to be about like knowing your tax ID number and like that kind of crap, no thanks. So that stuff has been
When someone is like about building your brand, you're like, wait, what?
I always cringe at that. I just think that like people are like, oh, what's it like being an entrepreneur? I'm like, I'm not. I just like don't feel like I am. I'm like, I have one skill and I do one thing, and I happen to work for myself. It's like, now I'm like an entrepreneur. I feel like it's somebody who's like has many preneurs, you know, has many their hand in many
multiple
businesses,
preneurs.
Multiple preneurs. And I'm just like, I don't know. I just do one thing and that's all the only thing I'm good at. And so I'm just going to go ahead and do that. And there happens to not be a corporate structure around this job for the most part, at least for the most part, let's just end it there. But yeah. So anyway, yeah, whatever we can.
But
move
I
on.
Do think what's interesting about that is that once you go there, it actually removes a layer of vulnerability, relatability, personability, I feel like, with certain people, because we have seen, and I know you probably have too, especially in this space, is when someone crosses this threshold into like, not only am I an expert or I become this pinnacle of fitness that I want people to aspire to, you all of a sudden stop connecting on that level.
Mm.
So
yeah, agreed.
I don't know. Maybe it keeps us a little bit more human.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
So
same.
So maybe it takes like a hair longer for you to like really truly believe that you should be a S corp or an LLC.
Yeah. But oh, geez.
Come on.
Oh, that's stressing me out. Okay. So now we've established that we're entrepreneurial coaches. What do you think is the biggest difference between coaching men and women?
Yeah. I mean, for the, just to start, I coach almost entirely women. I definitely have some men, but for whatever reason, you could even back up a step and you're like, why is the world of online coaching like just overwhelmed with women, I think, and versus men. And I think it comes down to just like a genetic superiority of like women being more okay with asking for help that they're not a professional at, and being okay with that like vulnerability that comes with asking for help. And so I think that there's women don't need it more than men. It's not like there's a necessity of it more. Now we could talk about like from a internal feeling of necessity, like maybe women feel that more. And that's something we could talk about, but there's like, I don't think that there's any reason that I'm coaching more women than men other than for one thing. Yes. From a marketing perspective, women are believed that they believe that they have to push further in this. And also just like a literal genetic superiority, like women are way ahead of the game of like being able to ask for help on something that they're not a professional at.
Mean like directions?
Like directions, except yeah. Except
or
yeah.
Putting together things that have instructions, but I want to do it myself.
Actually reading
first.
The instructions. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely one of them. I wanted to think about some other ones. I think that's a big one that I feel like being open to criticism, being open to learning a little bit more, like just admitting that there's a gap in knowledge that, okay, I'm not good at this. This is an area where I would benefit from having a professional in my corner, being generally more open to that. Feel like sometimes I think about the Zoom calls. I was trying to think about the Zoom calls that I have with men and women. I just think that it's a different dynamic. If you looked at the conversation structure, it's a different dynamic of like, more direct understanding of like, I could use some help with this, you know?
Absolutely.
Do you feel like the men that you coach have a hard time asking for help or asking questions?
Actually, I don't. I think that the men that I coach are fall more into that category. And maybe that's a vibe that I put out that I get in return is that kind of person, because I think that, I don't know, if you follow my content or you even just listen to what my coaching is about, I know you guys are similar. It's like, I would rather be working with somebody who asks me why, who wants to learn, who's, you know, yes, they have a goal that is specific to them, but they're also might be interested in why it's important to have more protein as you age. Like they might just be interested generally in some of this stuff. And so actually I love the men that I coach. I think that they're, you know, they are, they inquire a bit beyond the scope of what we're doing personally. And so I really do enjoy that. I wanted to say that men respond better to more direct language, but I'm going to just say that is an untrue. There were other words I was going to use there, but I circled back around with the switch. And that is, I believe that to be untrue, actually. I think women respond extremely well to direct language in a respectful manner, just as well as men. I just think it's has nothing to do with non-gender specific. I just think it's a personality thing. And I've found that maybe that's a confidence thing for me as a coach. I don't know if you guys have found this. It's like the longer I do it, the more I don't know. Maybe it's respecting people's ability to take that direct language and giving them the benefit of the doubt that they can handle it. And I think that that's more of a me as a coach thing, less of like a person thing. And I think more people will respond to, obviously there's got to round the edges a little bit, but I think that I do not believe that men generally respond better to more direct language and women need to be coddled in any way. I just don't think I wrote it and I was like, nah, that's not true. You know?
So I just want to clarify that you're saying that women are superior at taking coaching cues as well as criticism, constructive criticism.
Most of them might, you know, present company excluded.
Ouch. Okay. What are we not going to taking directions about? Let's hear this.
Oh, you guys are wonderful. Actually, okay. From a form perspective, I loved coaching you guys from a technique perspective. Definitely. I got a good technique video from Heidi, like once every 4 to 6 months.
Okay, I knew it.
And you know, we were able to really go good back and forth. It was like, it was almost like we teleported back in time to like the 1800s. We were doing like messages in a bottle. And one would like show up at my door and it's like a picture of Heidi squatting. And then I would roll one back up and send it out into the ocean and it would get to her, you know, at some point. Good times.
Yeah. How long have you had that one in the chamber?
Oh, it's been, that one's bolded in the notes here. Now I'm ready to rock. Yeah.
Touche.
Yeah.
Touche. That's fair.
What about like, I guess from a personality perspective, from a training perspective, I think that there are like some, there are some more distinct differences. I'd say generalizations, of course, with exceptions, but I think in general, women care more about their technique than men and tend to benefit more from being pushed closer to failure. And men are the exact opposite, where it's like, every form video I get, I'm like, dude, this is a 2 RIR week. And you're like 6 reps past failure into like crazy, terrible quarter reps of, you know, momentum, hip swinging, lateral raises. And so for a lot of times it's the exact opposite. It's like your form is, if it's like a woman, it's like your form is awesome. We make tiny tweaks and you could do 5 more. But the man, it's like, do 8 less and stop swinging it so much. And that's not always the case. Of course not. But I do find that like a little bit of a common thread. Yeah.
I think it's actually kind of unfair if you think about this conversation, because men are genetically designed to build muscle easier than women, but yet they can do it with more horrible form.
Yeah. So true.
You guys recently went to a Globo gym, right? Like, and I want to hear if you kind of can see what I'm seeing. So I owned a gym and worked in this one gym that I just said, whatever, after college. And I was basically just in this one gym, in this one environment for like 10 years. And so wasn't a member of like a LA Fitness or anything like that. We moved out here, went to LA Fitness, went to Gold's. And you and I had a conversation of like, wow, like there's a lot of people out there that need our help, you know, so to speak. And a lot of, you know, not great technique, a lot of like exercise selection that's off, whatever. It's just like an average person. It's not their job to do everything perfectly. And I had two overwhelming feelings. One, on one side was like, oh my God, everyone's lifting with terrible form. Wait, it's just like, there's a lot of stuff that really needs help. But in the same vein, I saw a lot of jacked people doing that. And I thought to myself, this is a little bit cool, where it's like, if this person is like, if I walk up to this guy who's like swinging his lateral raises and ton of momentum, and I say, hey, you know, like, it'd be better if you, you know, had your arm a little bit closer, a little bit less swinging, whatever it is, drop the weight a little bit. You know, he could easily say, well, look how jacked I am. It's like, well, that's cool. Like, it is kind of cool that there is some room for error, and that effort and consistency like do kind of matter most. I mean, they don't kind of matter most. They certainly matter most. Like, there are jacked people in every gym out there doing dumb stuff that have been doing dumb stuff for 10 years. But guess what? They eat a lot. They've been training for 10 years straight. They might not be injured and they work really hard. Now, there's some suboptimalities. They could, you know, cross a few T's, dot a couple I's. But I'm thinking like, you know, it's, we talk a lot about, or I guess I talk a lot about my content lately about like biomechanics and the exercise selection and the execution and the form and the technique. And it's like, well, yeah, that's cool and all, but like, if you're working close to failure and you're like generally with good technique and it's not dangerous and you eat enough protein and enough food and you sleep, it's like, yeah, you're going to get 95% of the way there. And that is kind of cool, as much as we want to like obsess on nuance over the nuances. Like, if you eat the food, you lift the weights, you do it hard and you are patient and do it for a while, like you see good results.
It's the same thing with dieting, right? Mm-hmm. Think about how many people never will go their whole lives with never even hitting a protein goal or counting macronutrients or even like paying attention to anything. And they just kind of eat and it works. And I think a lot of that is like, there's definitely some luck involved. There's definitely some genetics. There's definitely some just natural, common sense involved, mm-hmm. right? It's like, okay. I mean, I've seen enough bicep curls to know like generally like what a bicep curl is, correct? Mm-hmm. But I think what's interesting about all that is that you have people who really want the most optimal way to achieve something. And I think as coaches, nothing bums us out more than when people have been spinning their wheels, yeah. thinking that they're getting to a certain place when in reality that doesn't take them there. And so you have both, right? You have the like, hey, it's going to work for you kind of no matter what, because a newbie gains, if you're consistent, cool. Mm-hmm. Right. And you're right. There are definitely people who are super jacked in there. So it does, it shows up, but then there's also people who are not, and you just see them going to hurt themselves. And yep. that just feels, and that's, I think, an easy way to make exercise not feel good. Like every totally. Time I go in there, I always hurt myself. So mm-hmm. I might as well just stick to the stair stepper because it's easier to like mentally manage this, or the treadmill is easier.
Yes.
And then by default, you don't try anything. So yeah, we definitely got a little bit of heat for that story. And
well, it's,
you know, it didn't have a lot of context in it. And
yeah.
and that is my bad for sure. But I know that, like, especially, you know, having come from working from you and then spending some time lifting and then obviously being in CrossFit, you do realize that form is the gateway to progress. And you really, there's a point where you can't muscle your way through something. Like Heidi and I can't do 30-pound lateral raises without injuring ourselves. Mm-hmm. And if you ever want to get to that point, form you have to start caring about form somewhere.
Yeah. Well, and it's, I like that phrase you used, obsess over the nuances. Cause I do think that is something that can be, that can be really tricky to balance, especially for women. Like, we, you know, getting so caught up in the details and like, well, what's best, what's like your podcast, what's optimal versus right.
Practical versus optimal.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that can be
optimal versus practical. What?
Where optimal meets practical.
Ta-da.
There we go.
Check it out.
Yeah. Spotify, iTunes.
Go. Yeah. Available now. So what do you think are, so if women's, I mean, we're pretty well versed in women insecurities, and I'm, as well as I'm sure you are, as a man, what is the difference you think between male insecurities and women insecurities when it comes to male and women, whatever, you know what I'm saying, in the gym?
Yeah. And just from like a, maybe even just like a body image perspective, I think that there's like, there was a time on Instagram a while back where there was like a big surge on like making sure we acknowledge the male perspective of body dysmorphia and, mm-hmm. you know, those insecurities exist on that side of the spectrum as well.
And for the record, I actually still really like reading about it, because I think we've always just believed that like, men don't care. Men are fine.
Yeah.
Men think women are ridiculous for thinking this way or yep. feeling this way about their bodies. And you just stop it, but also look really good.
Yeah. And I agree that they totally exist, and it is under discussed. But in the same vein of it being under discussed, it's also just not the same. Difficult to toe that line, but it exists. Men have insecurities just like women. There's body dysmorphia totally across the board, but to say that it's in any way equal, it would be unfair to women. That it's not equal. It's almost like when we look at like from like a leanness perspective, I think that in and of itself is way more on the female side. I think men, when we're talking about some of this body dysmorphia, I think that, or just like body image stuff, I do feel like men have a wider range of body types that are like accepted by society that are available to them without having to feel uncomfortable in their skin, which is unfortunate because nobody should be in that camp. And obviously just like capitalism in some way has turned us all into like having some expectations. But I just think if a woman like draws the body she thinks that she has to have, and the man does it, the man might draw like 10 different bodies that are like, oh, I could be jacked. I could be big and puffy, but muscular. I could be super lean. I could have six pack. I could have huge traps. I could have whatever. I mean, it's like a lot. I could have a dad bod. All of a sudden dad bods are in, which, by the way, it's awesome. Like, we should be normalizing everybody. And so, I just think men have a wider array of body types that they can fall into and find some sort of like not being attacked by society to look a different way than women.
Well, yeah. And your guys' level of social acceptance is like, if you have a slamming career, they could care less what your body looks like. Mm. Right.
That's fair. Yeah. That's true. Unfortunately, that to some degree, there's like a different, there's other qualities that men might be judging themselves on, in this like rat race or whatever. The better analogy or correlation I almost felt was like height for men. I feel like from a height perspective is like one of those things that's like, the unfortunate part of height is you can't train height, you know? And so like, there's like nothing available to you at that point. But I do think that that's like, if I had to pick something that's analogous for men, that it is like, let's say thinness or whatever for women, I think it would be height. I think that there's like is something that is definitely under the radar in terms of insecurities in with men. You know, women generally are trying to, you know, date men that are taller than them or equal to them, whatever, plus heels. You know, I got to deal with heels. That's not fair, by the way. Like, you just wear flats. Like,
Is it always like the 7 feet tall guys are with like the 5 foot girls? Like,
yeah. Leave them for the rest of us smaller. I mean, not us, happily taken, but in general, you know, them out there.
Well,
yeah.
And can we also just blanket statement, you're 6 feet tall, so you don't have this short.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. 5'11", 3/4", but there's, you know, there's, you know, we round up.
6 feet energy, so. 6 foot energy.
Oh yeah.
Six foot energy.
Definitely.
Six foot energy. Yeah. And so that, I think that when I was thinking about this, I was like, you know, the male insecurities, they definitely exist. They might exist, like you had said, maybe from a career perspective more for some reason, also from a height perspective. But then I think from a body perspective, men have, it definitely exists. It totally exists. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. And so it'd be unfair to say that it's the same. Men have just a much wider array of body types that are from a society perspective, acceptable.
I like that you're saying this, because sometimes we get women who are like, how do I get my husband into fitness? How do I get them to eat better? How do I da da da? And I think while we would definitely love the men in our lives to be sensitive to us, I think it's important to point out that sometimes we need to also be sensitive to the men in our lives too, and that they have body image issues instead of it just being like, just do better.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And how being a critical woman can also contribute to their insecurities the same way that a critical man would to yours.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Sometimes we think that you guys have no feelings.
We do. We do. We're mad about the heels situation. We're not over it.
We're mad about the heels.
This is all what it comes down to, is the heels. Nothing else, just the heels. Does it matter the hair? Like, does it have to be long hair? Does it have nothing?
No, no. We're
just the heels.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, luckily for you, athleisure is all the rage right now. So everyone's in flats.
That's true. Yeah. Very happy about that.
So another thing we get a lot from women is being intimidated by the gym, right? Like, what advice do you have for women to get over being intimidated by the gym?
Yeah. Everything that will come out of my mouth right now will be under the umbrella of easier said than done. And so I will start by saying this is not an easy thing to do. And so any of the advice that comes out might sound like short and sweet, but like, it's not, I understand it's more complex than that. Honestly, a lot of the choices I make in life are fueled by fear of regret. And I think that that's something that I think about a lot. And so I just think about like what I would feel more proud of when I'm 90 or less proud of when I'm 90, or, you know, is that fear of going into the weight section or hiring a coach or heading over to grab a barbell for the first time? Is that fear greater than the next 60 years of benefit if I do it? And I think that that's just an internal dialogue discussion. I think more people need to have like a literal, like most people don't get past the, I'm scared of doing this. There needs to be a follow-up statement by your, you know, the other part of the angel on your shoulder or whatever, like the person who's looking out for future you of like, I'm scared of doing this, but here are the benefits, but here are the downsides if I don't do it, but here's what my life will look like if I go ahead and do it. And actually I have a post queued up for maybe later, but when we're done, it talks about like the thing in fitness, potentially in other aspects, but you know, whatever, staying in that bubble, it's like the thing that scares you the most is probably the thing that will cause the most personal growth and potentially, you know, improvement in quality of life. If you know, if not only because of the benefits of picking up that barbell from a health perspective, but more likely from ancillary things, like just the general thing of conquering a fear, you'll feel better about your ability to not be held back by that. And so, yeah, I think I just definitely think if there's a fit thing in fitness, whether it's, you know, pushing for that muscle that you really want, even if it means a couple of pounds, or stepping into the gym for the first time, or saying no to the donut and the drink occasionally, or saying yes to the donut and the drink occasionally when you normally would have had guilt about it, like whatever that thing is that's really scary, it's just probably going to be the thing that causes the most personal growth.
Gosh, masterfully done, Jordan Lips Fitness. That was brilliant.
What do you guys think? You guys work with it. I'm sure there is a disconnect though between me and that question, because there are most people, I suppose the demographic that I've curated, most people are in a gym, you know? And so most people are in a gym or I picked up a barbell. And so I don't really confront that often. I worked as a personal trainer for a decade, happened every single day where I would walk somebody from square zero to a deadlift from the floor. And that was an amazing experience, but I would be lying if I'm saying I'm not detached from that a little bit for the last couple of years, where I'm picking up clients that are slightly further along on that spectrum. And so I'm not sure if you guys have a bit more of like a personal experience with that, but what's that conversation sound like for you? You guys are on the hot seat, by the way. I'm interviewing you guys.
Okay. I like it. I mean, this is the back and forth that we love. So we actually just joined an LA Fitness like 3 days ago because we wanted access to machines and to be able to do some of this hypertrophy-based programming without having to set up these really incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to admit, we do pretty well in a CrossFit gym, Jordan Lifts. Just give us some like two snaps. But seriously, it definitely, the setup to do some of these movements that we'd love to be able to do without having a 10-minute setup, it does take forever. So we definitely wanted to have some access to some machines and other equipment. So walking in there was really interesting because we it feels brand new.
It does.
It doesn't feel the gym intimidation to the sense of like, I feel like I fully belong in the weight room, but I also want to know how to belong in their weight room. Mm-hmm. I was even thinking like, is there a guy at 5 a.m. who always is on the same bench and everyone just knows this is his bench, but I don't want to take his bench.
Totally.
Do I need to sanitize everything? Do I need to bring a gym towel all of a sudden? What am I going to do about music? Because I'm used to having it cranking loud. So there definitely are.
Well, plus there's so many different machines too. And it's like, I'm looking at each one and I'm like, oh my God, okay, this is the leg press.
And like, it's like slightly different than the one on the right. And this is slightly different than the one on the left. And do they all do biceps?
We were joking. One? Like, it's like walking up to the meat section and you're like, wait, is this is a chuck roast the same as a tri-tip chuck roast? Like what am I looking for here?
So we definitely would love for you to like create like a get to know these machines and stitch these machines. That would be super helpful. So as I'm thinking about this gym intimidation and even just this own layer of unknown for us to walk into this, I feel like you never have a better time than now to be able to find resources on Instagram or the web to figure out everything. Mm-hmm. Figure out your programming, geek out on it, go look up form videos, film yourself, see what you're doing, and then look at the machines. Like I'm going to go to your page and see, okay, when he does, you know, chest supported rows, I want to see what machine you're using and like how you're positioning yourself and then mimic that. Mm-hmm. That's what's so cool about right now. You don't have to second guess your form when there's so much on the internet to be able to, but you also have to be willing to go do it instead of just being like, I'm just either going to guess or it's too hard. I'm not going to, which I think is like the overtone of everything with whether it's, I don't want to weigh my food. I don't want to track my protein. Mm-hmm. I don't want to look it up. I don't want to do research on like what this means or 45 degrees and 65 degrees, but
totally. Or like sometimes if you are so intimidated, you literally just put it on a mental shelf and don't really think about it until you walk in and there's no preparation. Then you're just, you do feel more insecure and scattered. And then that's the emotion you're going to walk back into the next time, unless you change something about it.
And then instead you're like, so let's talk about supplements. What can I actually just take to get what I want?
Yeah.
Because to do the simple thing or the logical thing is too much work, but going super into the weeds about like things that don't really matter all that much is what you focus on. Cause it's easy to take a pill versus watching a bunch of form videos.
So are there any general like tips you have for like machines versus dumbbells? Like honestly, I literally have this question. Like if there's a machine that's like, this is the bicep curl machine and you could also do bicep curls with dumbbells. Like do you have an opinion about that?
I mean, I would take a well-made machine over a free weight, I suppose, in a lot of cases, not all cases. And it's obviously goal dependent and we can put a bunch of asterisks on that question. But
of
like,
course, always, right?
A well-made machine or cables, which by definition are as good as you make them. So I would take a well-made machine or cables. Again, it's not mutually exclusive, but probably over its free weight counterpart for hypertrophy's sake. And again, not in all contexts. And I guess the main takeaway is not, okay, well, I'm only going to do machines. The main takeaway is at least the people who are like over in the like, oh, free weights are everything and machines are not good, to at least move them in the direction of like, hey, like this chest assisted row machine is going to be way more comfortable than you like choking yourself to death with the dumbbells on the, you know, laying prone on the incline bench. And so there's like going to be a good amount of inclusion of machines. And if we lump cables in there, then a ton of work for sure. And so again, it matters based on the machine. And unfortunately, it matters all the way down to like which machine. So you could have a chest assisted row that's awesome by Cybex and a chest assisted row that's not awesome by Life Fitness or whatever. Again, I don't know if those two are great, but at the end of the day, it's going to be like a little bit dependent on what you're trying to get out of it, but also what the machine is like. Unfortunately, there are some, like, I don't know if you guys are, if your gym has Hoist. Hoist is like a line of machines that also moves your body as you move your limbs. So you'll be like doing a pull down, but at the same time, it rocks your body back. And so like for some exercises, the inclusion of that is awesome. And for others, it's terrible. And so, and not to make it seem like this big, confusing, you know, elephant graveyard that you can't go into, like it isn't that complicated. And to circle back to the point, like if you sit down with full range of motion and you work close to failure, like you're probably getting most of it. And then like you guys said, there's a ton of resources out there. I get all the time, like, what are your advice for new lifters? What are your advice for new dieters or whatever? Like new people trying to figure this out. It's like, dude, I'm not saying don't try and figure it out on your own. I love when clients have done some work for themselves. But I would rather you take that inquisitive brain and find somebody that you trust and pick their brain instead of, now I'm not saying, maybe I'm saying this because I believe that the present company, the three of us are willing to do the work to come up with a very the right answer, whether that be like a very direct answer or a nuanced answer, give that person a good service. The downside of saying, hey, just go hire a professional and have them help you figure this out is, you know, maybe you bark up the wrong tree. And so I usually forget to say that because I feel like the people I run with are the right trees and the trees that you should bark up.
Wrong trees.
Yeah. And so I always say like, just hire a professional. People are like, oh, how many sets and reps and, you know, which machine and this? And it's like, oh, hire a coach. I'm not saying, and then never think about it again. I'm saying hire a coach and then ask them that question and get a more nuanced answer, get them to look at the forum videos and stuff. So when you had said that to me, Heidi, I'm like, there's a lot of machines. And so maybe we book a call later. We go over. No, but like, obviously like that's the kind of answer I would want if I'm a client asking that. It's like, well, why don't we spend some actual time on this? And it's honestly, it's interesting because it's a field that I think if you just look at the big rocks of like getting in shape, let's say, there aren't that many and they are not the complex ones. It's like, you know, whatever it is, it's like eat protein, not too many calories, lift close to failure and probably go at least three times a week. It's like beyond that, it's like how many exercises that day, how many sets and reps, like, you know what, what's cool is like between 5 and 30 reps close to failure, you see the same hypertrophy. So that really doesn't matter. It's like, how many exercises? It's like, well, if you're there for like 45 to 60 minutes, whatever you did in those 45 to 60 minutes was probably an adequate amount of volume. It's like, you know, technique wise, it's like my elbows up here, my elbows down here. It's like, no, okay, a little bit different, not a big deal. And so if we can get those big rocks down, then we can move on to obviously like the more nuanced, you know, nitty gritty stuff.
Okay. So I have to ask, what are a couple machines that are just don't even waste your time going on?
Oof. Okay. The vertical leg press. So okay. Luckily it's not in most gyms. It's like you're laying on your back and you're facing directly upward where a normal leg press is like a 45 degree angle or even a horizontal leg press is better. I'd say the 45 degree one gives you the best leverages, allows for the backrest to move in a correct way. The problem with the vertical leg press is that the backrest cannot move because it is parallel with the ground. And so you're always in at least like 90 degrees of hip flexion. Like the minute you put your legs straight up, your body's making this big right angle. Where if you're on the 45 degree one, like, yes, you're the obviously people who are listening can't see your feet are up on the platform, but you can move the backrest down. And so that you're not jammed up into all this, you know, your hip being in such a lot of flexion. So the vertical leg press is like, I have one client who's, I know she's going to listen to this. She's going to be like, whoa, I have one at home. I love you, Kel. And you should keep doing it because you have it in your house. And so we're going to use it. But I'm talking about like, if you have two right next to each other, the 45 degree one, vertical one, do the 45 degree, usually.
Hey, it's like the BCAAs. It's like, if you have them, go for it and drink them, but
yeah,
you don't need
yeah.
to like,
yeah.
buy them.
Yeah. yeah.
Just don't buy them again.
Go out of your way to like buy BCAAs or find a vertical leg press.
Yeah. Sidebar. That definitely something that comes up, like clients thinking like, oh, did you post that about me? It's like, no, it's like such a, like you're a human. This is like a human thing we're talking about. Like, this is not just specific to you, but that's how insecurities feel. Right. It's like always like, oh, it's just me. The vertical leg press.
Yeah. I'm also a big hater of the V squat. I'm like king of the V squat hating club. V squat is it's like, you guys have probably seen it. There's like shoulder pads on it. It looks like a hack squat, but it has a more angled pad and it doesn't work on a track. It works on an arc. And so you'll often see females maybe doing like a good morning where they're like facing it in the reverse direction and then doing more of like a hip hinge motion. If you look at the picture on the machine, if you look at like what it's made for, it's made for squatting, right? And you are facing away from the machine with your back against the pad. If you're doing it that way, it's a god awful machine. Really terrible. The arc of the motion is like counter to where your body's producing force. And so your like thing is like pushing down on an arc and then you're pushing up in a different direction. You don't get a lot of hip flexion. You don't get a lot of knee flexion. It's just terrible. And it's not just that it's terrible. I'm not trying to, it's just that the point, if someone's like, oh, why am I doing the V spots? Like, all right, I want to work my glutes and quads and the length of position, whatever. Okay. Well, there's a zillion better ways to do that. So it's just low on the ranking. However, what you'll see is people doing it in the reverse direction, which is more of a hip hinge, like a good morning, which I actually think is awesome. So I actually think that I have clients who do the V squat, but we do it like facing inward with a hip hinge backwards, occasionally putting a band on it. And it's actually decent. My biggest issue is that every gym has it because it is part of every standard line. So most gyms have like the hammer strength line and it is part of the hammer strength line when unfortunately a regular like track hack squat is not part of these lines, which is mind boggling. If they just took out a V squat and put in a hack squat, people would be just walking around with jacked quads 24/7. Instead, we're in the V squat and everyone's got knee problems because things.
Okay, so hammer strength. You need to reach out to Jordan Lipinus and he'll redo your and revamp your. Whole
revamp the line. Yeah. And so that one. And the worst part is one, it's in every line, and two, it's massive. And so it's like this massive paperweight. It's not like there's like the little creature curl machine isn't great. It doesn't take up any room. This is like people, it's like a $7,000 machine or some, whatever it is. It's like a crazy, it's like a leg press, like a big hack squat-y thing. It's not like this tiny little machine that's not the seated calf raise that somebody made in their basement for like $1,000, you know? And so
you're like, if we use it wrong, we could actually use
it. If you use it incorrectly, we can make it more than a paperweight. Yeah. And that's not to say that it's not even like these, some of these discussions, like they're not even like a good, bad discussion. They're just like a, you have better options easily available to you, you know?
I mean, if that isn't just like, yeah, absolutely.
I think that's like fitness and nutrition in a nutshell.
Yes.
Like you don't 100%. Need to go out and spend like $7,000 on supplements. You could just like buy chicken breasts.
Totally.
And call it a day.
Yeah. I like this question. I'm thinking is there anything else that I get like that grinds my gears?
What about the ab machine that has like the handles right here and you just go like that?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay. What about every woman's?
There's more coming.
I mean, I used to. What about the like
good girl, bad girl?
Dino chair machine.
Oh. Good girl, bad girl.
No.
Not that one.
That machine, like, does that have any purpose?
Sure.
Adductor
machine. Yeah, sure. So not to get. So actually, the adductor part of that is something that shadily I've been using in my program for a while. I think the adductor is fine. It works when you do a lot of hip hinging, so like RDLs or even wide stance squats or wider stance leg presses. You work part of your adductors that is involved in hip extension, but the actual adduction part, which means bringing your legs closer to your body, works from it has other muscles. It's like multiple divisions of that muscle that gets worked way better in the adductor machine. So I actually think the adductor machine, like the adductor part of that machine, which is the pulling your legs closer together part, has some utility, which I actually will use quite often in my programming. The unfortunate thing is that most people aren't even using that side. They're using the like the booty side, where it's like, oh, let me do the abduction where I'm pushing my knees out, and not to get overly technical, but that's not actually working your glutes. Unfortunately, it's working something that lays underneath your glutes. And so from a geography perspective, if you point to where you're feeling it, you will point to your glutes. However, it's called your piriformis. It's not really a muscle that you want to hypertrophy much. And so you get this sensation of it works my glutes, but it's actually working something underneath your glutes that you don't really want to hypertrophy too much. Huh. And so if you are looking to like the part of your glutes that does abduction, which is bringing the leg out, you know, to the side of the body, if you want to grow that, your glute minimus, just do standing abductions, which is just standing up tall and kicking your leg out to the side, probably loaded with a cable. And it works great. It works fantastic. And so that, unfortunately, like, again, that's a big like space machine, takes up like too much space for how versatile it is. When in reality, I would only use the adduction side, the pulling the legs closer together. And then I hope we could just squash the using the abduction thing altogether, but I hope we're squashing that. I hope everyone listening is like, oh, I'm never going to use that again, because you just shouldn't. But the whole like sitting up or like leaning forward or like being or facing the other way, like all of that is, I hope, I'm talking about even in a best case scenario, you're using the machine correctly, you still probably shouldn't use it. And now if we're like standing up facing the other direction, like you also, there's like a crucial part of the technique for either exercise. You have to make direct eye contact with somebody and look deep into their soul for a minimum of 15 seconds while you're doing this.
For optimal hypertrophy.
Oh yeah, optimal hypertrophy. It's just science.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we clarify that because people want to know.
Yeah, so for anybody who's not already intimidated by the gym, we have like a next level for you here.
Yeah.
That was probably the machine we saw in both gyms being used the most. Mm. There were a bunch of people on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, man, lots to think about, but definitely we're requesting a post of this machine. Not this machine.
Stay away from these machines.
That would be super helpful because you look at the pictures on them too, and it's like all lit up where it targets, and you're like, oh, well, I would like that.
Yeah.
The skeleton looks great. Also, really quick, if you guys have like a, you will, because it's LA Fitness, you guys will have free motion machines, which are like, it's like a cable stack with two free moving arms that can move in like all different like wacky, wavy, inflatable arm flailing tube men directions. And it's a wonderful machine. But it's actually probably the best machine if you had to pick one machine to put in your home because it's so versatile. The arms go in every direction you can imagine. But if you look at the picture, And I've posted it. I'm going to post it again. If you look at the picture that's on the machine of like the exercises the guy's doing, it's mind-boggling. It's unreal. It's like tree chop and like back squat with like the two handles. And then the person's back squat is just terrible form. And then there's like, it's really some crazy stuff on there. It's amazing that the same people who built this wonderful machine also made these pictures. It's really unbelievable.
Once again, reach out to Jordan Lips. He will completely redo all your pictures for your machines.
I got you. Yeah.
Entrepreneur.
Oh, yeah. Many preneurs.
Yes. Seriously.
Many preneurs. Yeah.
So not shocking. We could probably talk to you for like another hour, but we definitely want to ask you this question because we would love to know your thoughts. So how has coaching women, and obviously your incredible girlfriend at Jenna Bruno Fitness also like is in the field, but how has it changed your perspective on like maybe having a daughter, future daughter one day? Like all the body noise you hear, all everything. I want to know
how hard women are on themselves, like seeing themselves.
Or are you planning on just having sons?
Yeah.
No, I extremely would like a daughter, actually, preferably so. Jenna listening, she knows that. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. And I think about this a lot, actually. I think I'm like a recent check-in. I was discussing, like, obviously I'm not a parent right now, but a lot of my clients are. And so that discussion of like being a role model and what that's like and the words you use in front of your kids and trying to raise them, like what are your goals in terms of from a health perspective, or do you lay foundation there? So I do think about this quite a bit. It's almost like, wow, I see the challenges that women face in this field. And there's almost some element of like, well, it's probably easier to have a boy, more likely to end up with a little, like we just talked about the body dysmorphia things, probably a little less likely that they end up with some of these, you know, suboptimal issues with their body and food and health and stuff. But I also think like, what do I do now for a living? I kind of play some small part in trying to change the perspective of like what is expected of a woman in society and from a fitness perspective and from a health perspective. And so I think that like being a father would just be like an extension of that and something where I could really affect that, you know, change in the narrative, I guess. It's interesting because then you think, okay, and I'm sorry we're going on a tangent, but I was thinking about this question a little bit because I think Jenna and I agree. We both, when we get older, like when we get a house, like I really want the home gym. I'm you know, somewhat close friends with Lifting Lindsay, let's say. And so I see that she works out in her garage and her kids are there and like the neighbor's kids are there and like, it's just normalized. But then at the same time, like, I don't want to set an expectation for my kids to be me and to care about fitness so much. Like, I deep down don't care if they become fitness people. Jenna and I are both big soccer players. She played D1. I was not as good, but you know, whatever. We still play a lot. And we love it. And we're just like, wow, it'd be so great to like have our kid like play soccer. We'd go to the games. Jenna would be the best coach in the entire world. I would be like screaming at the ref for like the kid's like 4-year-old game. And then I think, you know, at the same time, like I don't want to put that pressure on this kid. And so I think I want to have at least a child in general that has a healthy relationship with food and exercise. But if they want to take it further than that, that's fine. Like I want them to get to a point where they know that what they look like, there's more to them than what they look like. It's very like, should, it's not the top 10 most interesting things about you, but at the same time that your best life probably involves taking care of the one body you get. Now, where on the spectrum of health and fitness do you want to go? Do you, is this something you really are ambitious about? Or are you going to just take care of yourself long enough to have like a really good health span and be in a good quality of life and not die early of, you know, chronic disease or like whatever. Like, I just want more than anything for them to know that lifting weights is helpful and that eating mostly nutritious food is helpful. But I fear, and it's a fear that I'm sure you guys all have had and still have, of like pushing them too far in that direction. And so that balance is something that I'm looking to learn more about as obviously we maybe get closer to that. And I'll probably be reaching out to you guys for advice, not the other way around. But yeah,
well, we'll make sure that we master it in the next like 5-10 years.
We're nearly there. We're practically perfect.
Exactly. Right? And so it's obviously not, I'm guessing it's not like you guys are chuckling because it's not like there's no playbook, you know? And so, yeah.
Well, I feel like if there is a playbook, it's your own personal playbook, right? Like I say this all the time because it was, as a person who has like 80 bajillion self-help books, the best parenting thing I ever read was from Freakonomics. And said, you know, you're basically, it really is taking care of yourself first. What you do is more important than what you say. Like they did these statistical measures of whether reading parenting books makes you a better parent. And it, All they found is if you're the type of parent that would read parenting books, you're probably the type of parent who's more interested in your kid's internal experience and communication and all those kinds of things, but that your kids will be about as happy as you, about as successful as you, like about as educated as you, those types of things. So it really does start with yourself first. So the fact that you are as educated about women's insecurities and body image issues and those kinds of things just makes you more of an informed father, so that, you know, you're not saying things like complimenting just how they look, but also complimenting effort and, you know, supporting them in their goals instead of putting goals on them, you know?
So what good. I actually would love to ask you to piggyback on the daughter question is about our sons, because Heidi's son is in football, mine is in baseball. And there definitely is this a little bit of pressure that I'm noticing that they want to be big and they want to be jacked. They're asking about creatine. They're asking about lifting. They're asking about obviously abs and six packs. So if you could tap into high school boy Jordan and then knowing about what you talked about earlier about like male insecurities and things like that too, because obviously like our son's heights are predetermined already. What would you almost recommend for mothers or even fathers of sons too? Because there is this level of like, we want you to be an athlete, make sure you're an athlete. Like, or if you're not, like, make sure you're doing something, you know, like there is a stereotype for boys just as much as there are for girls.
Well, totally. And I think part of that stereotype is maybe not being particularly close with your mother.
Yeah. I'm going to embarrass myself a little bit. Actually, you said I can't, you know, my kid's height is predetermined. I have like small hands for how big of a person I am, I guess. And so there was a time when I had a friend who told me if I kept doing this, like stretching my fingers out, like really hard, that like, would eventually have some, and this was early on. This was like, I don't know. I mean, I'm old enough for this to be embarrassing, but I'm not so old that I'm that embarrassed about it. So one day, 6 weeks later, he like saw me at like the lunch table and I was like, just like doing this with my hands. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, didn't you say that like, this would make my hands grow? He's like, no, I was messing with you. And so slightly embarrassing story, but yes, height is predetermined, sure. But we never know. It might be in some like hand science coming my way soon where I can just like stretch my fingers out a little bit more. Anyway, that's a
reel. You're going to create a reel. Trust me.
Reels of like 100%. Yeah. That's as ridiculous as spot reduction. And you know, it's like as impossible as spot reduction. So it's not too far-fetched. People are out there believing it. So I don't feel so bad. Yeah. That's it. That's an interesting question.
There's so many things like that for women. I don't even know where to start. Like, brushing your, anyway, it's fine.
Yeah.
Keep going.
No, that's an interesting question. And I'm trying to think about like, what are you trying to normalize? And what is the end result that you want for your kid? Like there's like, okay, you could take super stereotypical, like male, thresholds of success and be like, okay, you need to be an athlete, you need to be successful, you need to be a ladies man, you need to be jacked or whatever these things are. Like, and so we want to normalize those, but it's hard to like, you guys are going to know better than me. You have to replace that narrative with something else. What is that narrative? You could be anything you want. You don't need to be that to be, respected by women or wanted by women. You don't even need to, the pursuit of being wanted by women in and of itself probably isn't a pursuit that you need to spend too much time thinking about. Like, you need to like, there's step one is like, okay, you don't need to do this to be loved or worthy or my son or, you know, whatever, but there, you need to replace that narrative then with something that they like more positive declarative statement of like, well, instead, this is a way of thinking that, you know, that you can develop and utilize. And I'm curious what that would be. I think that if you look at the counter example of the woman thing, I think like having a daughter, it's like, okay, I guess you could be very specific and we could hone in on this one thing of like, you don't need to be dainty and just petite and thin and fragile. And like you, and then the comma, you can lift and be strong if you want. And this is all available to you. And what's the counter for the on the male side? So you don't need to be this like stereotypical masculinity, like comma, you can be vulnerable. You can be, you know, have emotions. You can, you know, is that kind of like what the second part of that sentence would sound like?
Gosh, I don't know if they go for that right now, but like,
that was my other point. And I want to hear you say it. It's almost like there is youth is wasted on the young, like mentality of like, there's so much good stuff that you could just put into your brain that they're just not ready for it. So it's like somewhat a futile thing, but at the same time, you don't want to do nothing. You don't want to say nothing because then you're like, oh, I'm not even trying. Like it's,
That is it. 100%. I mean, especially, I definitely feel this with my daughters. I for sure. Also with my son, like you just want to, like we say, you just want to hand them the baton of everything that you've learned and just be like, run from here. Like don't have to like learn everything the hard way, but it's like, you're right. I mean, it's like, I feel like my son would totally sign up for like the, you know, get a football chest in 30 days. You know what I mean? Like they want that dream. And for me to be like, no, this is a process. It's going to take a long time. And like, you know, slow improvements and nutrition and whatever. He's like, snooze.
How often do you guys think that, and we're getting off topic, I don't know how much time you guys have, but like, how often do you guys catch yourself like actually looking back and be like, you know, that did make an impact on me. I think I've reached this like second stage of life, and that makes me happy. I catch myself looking back on stuff my parents said, and maybe I messed it up for a long time. And maybe I didn't take the advice then, but I catch myself affected by that in some way. I'll do something or say something. And I'm like, you know what? I was affected by that. Even in the moment I messed it up and I didn't take the baton right away. Like I circled back around to this piece of advice eventually.
Yeah.
Gosh, I think everything.
Yeah.
Every single horrible and positive experience you have in your life brought you here.
Yes.
In whatever capacity it is. Mm-hmm. We're really into childhood traumas right now. So those are definitely, definitely real. And I think about that with my kids. It's like, how many things can I try to prevent, or how many things do I just need to like let happen to them too? Mm-hmm. Because sure, like what you mentioned about like having an opportunity or like having a home gym and hopefully creating this kind of like fitness, desirable fitness lifestyle, because you and, you know, your girlfriend / wife / mother of your children are in that kind of space. But at the same time, it's like, that might not be realistic for all of them. And that's also okay too. It's more mm-hmm. about having the options.
Yes.
And letting them know it's available without the pushing. Well, I think there's so much pressure on for parents, you know, their kids are trying to live vicariously through their kids. A lot of time it has to be boredom. And I think most of it comes down to like, I don't want you to repeat the same things that I mm-hmm. did, or I do want you to repeat the same things that I did.
Yeah.
Treating them as individuals. And as we're talking about this, I think of like the same rules apply for daughters and sons. They have to be allowed to be who they are, but also they have to know that they're intrinsically loved and valued and, mm-hmm. and wonderful no matter what they choose, whether they are in esports, crushing it online, or in like actual real physical sports. And there's a place for everybody.
Well, absolutely. I mean, and whether you're talking about, I mean, what they say, most people don't get to adulthood without trauma of some kind, right? And but there's a parallel here. I feel like whether you're talking about that or goals, it's like just being somebody open and available to talk to, right? It's like if your child goes through something difficult, but you're there to support them or offer them coping resources. It's the same thing with like exercise and fitness. Like you introduce it, you live it yourself. I mean, what you do is more important than what you say, and just like being there, right? Being open for that kind of conversation.
And I think full circle, it comes down to, we're all no different than like our daughters and sons, our future daughters and sons, just meeting yourself where you're at.
Yep.
And figuring out what you need.
Absolutely.
What you want.
What you want to create for yourself, for sure.
Just trying to get community pool jacked. And that's
yeah.
Okay, so before we wrap up, we got to talk about Community Pool Jack real quick, just so everyone's aware of it, because it's really one of my favorite things you've ever brought up.
I know, it's so good.
So Community Pool Jack, and then also let us know, or them know, because we also obviously know where to find you and all the things.
Community Pool Jack?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We got to talk about Community Pool Jack.
Well, and can I just ask one question? Those form videos that we used in your library, are those are open to anybody on YouTube?
They are not, no, but it is something that, it's a playlist. And so all of them are unlisted unless you have the link to the playlist. However, it's something that I'm going to be releasing just because it could be helpful to somebody else. So definitely something that I will
be extremely helpful.
Actually, I need to get around to putting them both all on there. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, cool. All in your spare time, Jordan Lips Fitness.
Entrepreneur. We need more preneurs. That's what it is. Oh, yeah. You need to hire some preneurs.
Become a YouTubepreneur.
Yeah.
So all right, anyway, where do we find you?
Quick plug for me. Yeah. You guys can find me at Jordan Lips Fitness on Instagram, or Where Optimal meets Practical on a podcast. P.S. Like our podcast is my most downloaded podcast still. And so you can go ahead over there to listen to us ramble about some other stuff. I forgot what we talked about, but it was a good one. And then in October, I will be getting a group programming service. So if you're looking for a slightly more cost-effective option to like join a group of people that are going through what you're going through, programmed by me, everything's got form videos, and there will be a lot of group discussion. There will be a live Zoom. I don't know when this is going to go out, but this week I'll be posting a bunch of, I put a Q&A up today about questions that people have. And so essentially it's on an app hosted by Train Heroic, and yeah, keep an eye out for more information.
Awesome. Love
and
as it.
Two people who have worked with Jordan, we could not encourage you guys to do that more. Train Heroic is also a fantastic platform to get your mm-hmm. workouts on. And he's just an all around good guy.
Incredible coach. In fact, you'll be getting a call from my husband, I think someday this
Penny boy.
So. I know, right?
Looking forward
to it. Yeah, you're fantastic.
Thank you.
Well, all right. That's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Thanks for coming, Jordan Lips Fitness.
My pleasure.